Okay, so hey everyone, this is Richard Legg here with Eric Farewell, and welcome to call number 3 of the Niche Domination Secrets course. Eric, welcome. You there?
Hey buddy, how's it going?
Good. How are you today?
I'm a little winded right now, man. After this day, I think that I'm ready for a vacation, but I know that I'm going to be heading out again first thing in the morning, so yippee-ki-yay.
It's all good. Okay, so let's get started, shall we? So this is module 3, and I just want to cover how you're going to create your niche product and find partners to promote it. So I want to do a quick recap just of what we've covered so far so that everybody's up to speed. Eric, I'm still getting that echo from your speakers.
I've got the mute on. I have no idea why it's taking this long. I'm trying to plug in directly to the box now.
Okay, no problem.
See if this helps. Can you still hear me? It's the mute is set, so it should be off.
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, the echo seems.
This might work. I just plugged in direct. That should help a bit.
Okay, cool. So,
all right, go through the rehash, and I'll be back with you in just a moment.
No problem. Quick recap. So, first module, we covered finding some potential niche ideas. Remember, we wanted to pick a niche that's already profitable, something that you know where people are spending money and that already has competition. So competition is actually good, and it shows you the market is profitable and people are willing to spend money in that market. Again, we said don't go for the untapped niches where there's no competition. Chances are that somebody's already been there and found it to be unprofitable, and so just forgotten about it. And then in order to get an idea of competition or define it, if a niche is going to be profitable, we used Eric's, called the 5-5-5 model, where you want to find at least 5 competitors, one of whom is making at least $5,000 a month, and there has to be a list of at least 5,000 people that you can tap into and leverage. And Eric, if you're ready, I know there are a couple of people who were a little unclear on some of that. So maybe if you could just spend a couple of minutes to clarify that 5-5-5 model.
Well, hopefully you can hear me now without being too echoey. I've turned on and off the mute. For some reason, those controls are not working. I'm not certain as to why, but I will continue to do my best here to you know, get rid of the echo, and the next time you're speaking, I'll probably run and grab a headset and see if that works.
Okay.
In the meantime, the 5-5-5. Can you guys go ahead and go through and tell me what the questions you're having with it? It seems to make pretty clear sense to me. Being able to define the 5-5-5, that has a lot to do with our last call. And obviously, I can go through and we can explain that stuff again, but it would probably not be the best use of our time. So, you know, whatever you guys are thinking.
We can always have questions put on the blog as well if people want more specific answers.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and if you're part of the elite call that the upsell at the end of our offer, you will have a little bit more time for having those questions answered. Let's see here. How do you determine if someone has a 5,000 person list, Meshach? What we talked about with that last week was kind of, and I don't know if I want to do enough explanation. A lot of it is just starting to interpret how big their traffic is, and then what their conversion rate is. This gets into some math, but if you can keep up with me, I'll explain it. First off, if you're looking to see that they're paying for advertising space using spyfu.com, which is spyfu.com, you can discover how much they're paying for the traffic and how much traffic they're getting. Then you can determine whether or not they're sending those people to an opt-in list or to an opt-in page, which if they're sending it to a namespeed/opt-in page, as we call it, you can assume that they're making anywhere between 15 and 35% conversion rate. Now, if they've had those same ads up for a month that you've been watching, they're getting 100 hits a day, they have a 25% conversion rate, that's 25 people a day are going to their opt-in list. All right, so 25 times 30, you with me so far? 650 people have joined their opt-in list that month. Now, if you can determine how long, and I'm not sure all that SpyFu does, I'm not extremely talented with it. Richard's much better than I am with the traffic stuff. You can start to determine how big that list is by determining how old the site is and how they're communicating to you. Because you should be on each of your competitors' lists anyway, learning what it is they're doing right, what it is they're doing wrong. Does that make a little more sense there, Bruce? Does that make a little bit more sense, Meshach?
I'm taking notes,
John,
as well.
Anybody?
So I'll put this in the PDF as well.
Say that again.
I'm taking notes, so I'll put this all into the PDF and break it down.
Okay, cool. And again, guys, it is not an exact science. Just determining how much someone's making and how big their list is not an exact science. You have to be able to extrapolate some math. But the beauty of the internet is that we have a lot more access to understanding what those numbers are, what those what those base numbers are, than we've ever had in the past. Like when I did offline stuff, you're really guessing. I mean, you're hoping, praying, and guessing. But luckily, with the online, you don't have quite as much of an issue with that.
Okay, so everyone's
right.
Happy with that. We'll go on to the next one.
Yeah, Richard, I'm going to run and grab a headset, so you keep talking for at least 90 seconds.
Okay, no problem. So we also want to study the competition to see what people are buying and why they're buying. So ideally, you found your five competitors. It doesn't have to be exactly five, but you found at least more than one competitor. And you want to kind of see what products they're buying, what their main benefits are, what the real selling point is. So what problem in the market do their products solve? So once you get this done, you have a much better idea of what products work well in that marketplace and kind of the reasoning why. And again, you can go, last week we covered researching popular keywords and different themes or sub-markets for the niche, and all those tools that you can use to find out how popular a market is and gauge how much potential traffic there is in a particular market. Then we covered how you can analyze the competition's website. So you can go to Google, and there are a few different kind of search terms that you can use that will show you different results for finding how many pages that website has indexed in Google and the different types of content they've got listed in Google. You can find where they're getting their backlinks from, find those sites where they're getting the links, and see what kind of pages are linking to them. So all of these are designed to give you an idea of your competition's strategy and business model. So once you know that you've found a profitable business model, you can then attempt to model that for your own. So you already know that it's a profitable business model. So instead of trying to create something from scratch, you've got a good template to work with. So then the next step is to start to develop your own site. And this is where we're going to start talking about today, creating your product and then finding partners to help you promote it. So is everybody up to speed? Everybody okay with that so far?
Good stuff, man.
Okay, everybody's good? Okay.
Good, good, good.
So product creation, the easy way. As I said, the easiest place to start is to see what the competition is offering. So Eric, I know you're kind of the master of this, and I'm just going to put some brief bullet points. If you want to expand on this, go right ahead.
Sure thing, man. First off, my audio sounds good. I got a whole new microphone set up. Hopefully this works.
Yep, sounds good.
Okay, excellent. There's some great questions at the beginning of the call before I got on. I'd love to go back and answer at the end. Some from Barbara and the like, so we'll definitely go back and do what we can if we have time. I think I'm clear to go for at least an hour here, just so everyone understands that even though we started late, I'm going to still deliver, and I apologize again. So jumping into content, let's see. We have product creation the easy way. Now, we talked about competition theory and why you should use your competition's information, why you should understand what they're doing right, how that works for the business model, for the marketing side of your business. Now, what we haven't really talked about too much is the benefits that means in the rest of your business. Because if you're already looking to see what your market is doing or what your competition is doing right that's making them money, in certain areas, you can start to look and see what they're doing that's making them money in other areas. And what I mean by that is if they have a low return rate, which you can see that on ClickBank, you can see what the refund rate is, I believe that's one of the statistics they show. Am I mistaken? I'll look here again. I love forgetting things like this, which makes me feel like an idiot. But regardless, you can figure out basically what the refund rate is. Yes, on ClickBank, and if they're not getting a lot of refunds, you can assume the product is probably pretty good. So what I usually do is I first steal their bullet points. Now this is a harsh word steal, but I modeled it. What I do is I copy and paste from their sales letter the bullet points of the problems they solve. Now I go in not just to one, but I do this from all of my competition, from four or five sites, because if I go through there, I can then see which ones are duplicates, which ones have two duplicates. You know, one guy is copying the other guy, or they have, you know, a similar bullet point, and I can get rid of one. Now, if I see that all four or five of my sites, or 10 of my sites that I'm copying from, have the same bullet points, that they're all drawing from the same information, it's probably a pretty good assumption that is something that people are looking for information on. Like, for instance, you know, if you're looking at the credit repair niche, they're all going to be looking to understand how to lower, to raise their credit score and lower their interest rate, right? That's a pretty common bullet point. So if I look and see from all of my competition, they all have that bullet point, do you think that bullet point's going to go in my copy? Duh. If you think that bullet point's answer will go into my product? Absolutely. Because remember, we're creating the sales letter first before the product. Because once we have the sales letter created, we see what kind of things would need to be sold to them, and then we can deliver on them in the product. All right? So you're going to go in, you're going to create a, find all their benefits that they're offering, pull the bullet points first, weed out the duplicates, figure out which one's the most important. Now, of course, the most important bullet points are going to go at the top, the ones that you had multiple copies of, that, you know, everyone had those bullet points in there because they all thought they were important, right? Then you can use some of those more specific ones. Now, mind you, you don't want to use those bullet points verbatim. You want to rewrite them. You want to have them be unique to you. But you want to have the same benefit given, same benefit delivered, as their bullet points are showing, because those bullet points have been proven to sell. Those benefits have been proven to be what people are interested in. Make sense, everybody? You good so far? You guys with me on the ethics of this? You with me on the thought process behind it, etc.? Yes.
Yes.
All right. All right, so you're pulling not just for the bullet points for the copy, but you're also pulling to understand what the what's going to go into your book itself, what the value is going to be in your book, because this way you don't have to do a ton of market research. This is kind of a snide thing. My big product that's coming out in November is called The Cheater's Guide to Niche Marketing, and it's called that for a reason, because really, you know, every other marketer out there and every other writer out there will explain to you all the different ways you have to work so hard to figure things out, to explain things, to process things, and the simple fact of the matter is you don't. All you have to do is understand what's already selling, and then mimic it, create something that's similar, right? So by figuring out what the benefits are in the bullet points and what the products are, what's in the products that's selling and making people like them, you can start to understand what you have to add without spending 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks or months or years understanding that market. You become an instant expert because you already know what's working. Kind of cool, right, guys? That's definitely a yes. You guys should all be freaking excited about that one. I mean, come on. I just saved you so much time. John Halleck only has one letter. I swear, he doesn't even know where his Y-E-S is. He's just like, why? Why? Right. John says N. No. Okay. John, are you the one I slapped the first day, aren't you, John? I don't even remember. That was a capital Y that time. All right, guys. Next bullet point for me, all right? Pick out common bullets from all your competition. This tells you what should be in your product. When you see a running theme, again, this is great repetition, because when you see a running theme, you know what's going to work best, and you know why. So that's mucho bueno. All right, next one. Now, this is part of it where that I told you to escape, and I'm going to tell you this. This is where I kind of, this is a little harsh. This is something that kind of breaks my own pattern, my own truth here, because, yes, you can find all the information you need to just by going through your competition's products, but if you want to go a step further, and this is what I do, is I go to forums, online communities, social media sites, that kind of thing, that are in that market, and I find what their latest worries are, what their newest things are, the things that they're most concerned about right now, why they're concerned about them, what the hot topics are, what the hot buttons are, what they're saying is in relation to the news, that kind of thing. And that those are some of the additional bullet points that set my product apart from my competitions. Because if you remember, we talked about branding last week and how you have to create something that is similar but has a unique story behind it. So that's one of the things I use to keep my products completely unique. All right, next one.
The easiest way to simplify all this.
Again, use your competition's research to your benefit. Find out what types of content. Whoa, kind of what types of content, et cetera, they're using on their sites, and what do they focus on in their products. If you read through four or five, and you can, I mean, skim read them, I can read an ebook in about 7 minutes flat. And by that, I mean that I read the headlines, the subheadlines, the bullet points, and that's all you have to read. You can read a few minutes of the story, and the rest of it you can skim through and see what it is they're covering. You don't have to take a lot of time to do this. You don't have to spend 2 or 3 weeks reading your competitor's product. You need to spend a day or less, all right? So you can find out what it is that their primary focus is for their list. What is it is that their primary content is that's really driving them, it's getting them excited, all right? Make sense, everybody, so far? Kind of cool? All right, good. Yes, okay, now what? All right. I'm actually impressed by you, John. John said yes, and with lots of letters and exclamation points. All right. So what we're going to do now is, again, let me back this up just to help you understand the simplification, because I can complicate and say you want to go through forums and blogs and all those things, and those are all good things to do. But again, simplification is the key to you actually taking action. So simplifying, buy your competitor's products, read your competitor's sales letters, then knock them off. Figure out ways that you can make yours similar but unique. Obviously, I don't want you sealing anything. I don't want you to have something that's the same. A good example of this, I had the owner of one of the products I was modeling with my senior golf book. He had the Senior Golfer's Guidebook, all right? And I didn't realize that was his. I actually wanted to create a Senior Golfer's product, and I hadn't completely followed my own system because I was in a hurry. I knew what I wanted to do with it. So I just said, bam, 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 we're doing this product. I wrote the copy for it. I had the testimonials created. I had eight guys review the product in advance, and then we went to town. And the problem was that I used the domain name, Senior Golfer's Guidebook, because that was my planned name, as the domain name that they were reviewing in one of those testimonials or a few of those testimonials. And I forgot to change it when we took the Senior Golfer's Black Book. So when we launched the product, we had the wrong domain name on the testimonials, and the creator was like, hey, I'm so sorry. I had planned on using the domain name, didn't realize you'd already had it, et cetera, et cetera, and we were able to grow from there. So, kind of cool things you can do. It's kind of an embarrassing story, but I don't mind sharing. All right, next one. Take us away.
Okay, getting the product created.
All right, guys. Are you ready to learn about this? I mean, I hate to keep asking for feedback, but I'm used to standing in front of a stage and getting people yelling at me and throwing things, tomatoes, potatoes, they're all good. But hopefully you guys are excited to learn this stuff, because there's some pretty good content here. How many of you already have products out there? Does anybody already have a product out there that they have created that they've had someone else create? Just say me. Anybody already have products? No. Me, Jeep does, all right. Rob does, Bruce does. Okay, good. Petra, how do you not have products, Petra? You have so many different ideas, man. I'm amazed by how much stuff you have. Love your blog comments. All right. So a lot of people don't have products out there. How many of you were? Are you actually kind of studying right now, trying to figure out what you can do or how to get a product created? Would you like to know what I do to get products created in less than 48 hours? Is that interesting to you? All right. Because what I do is, instead of building my business out in a manner that takes me weeks to get products created, I literally never take longer than 72 hours to have a product. Now, it has happened, it's taken longer, but guess who I don't work with anymore after that? Those writers. That's not a very good joke. All right. Take it away, my friend. Give us the next one. All right. Step one, creating very rapid products. This is a rapid product. This product right here is taking us about 5 hours to create, plus Richard takes probably an hour on each PowerPoint. I don't know if you take that long on each PowerPoint, maybe longer. Before the calls, so say a total of about between the two of us, so you multiply the time, that's 10 hours, and then you add that time in, 15 hours of time to create upwards of $10,000 in sales, plus the upsell at the end. So if you have $10,000 in sales plus an upsell to $1,000 or $2,500 course, and say 10% of you guys take that, is that pretty good money? Would you guys like to be able to do that? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Oh, yeah. All right. So, if this makes sense to you, what Richard did was we came up with this idea. We said, hey, why don't we create a quick course to teach his list, because he didn't really have an offer for you guys, and he knew that this information that we could share that really wouldn't take too much off my plate, so he wouldn't have to beg me too much for it. and it would make sense to work together. So he talked me into 4 calls, and then one more, right? But 4 calls, an hour each. An hour out of my day is not that long. It's how long I take, you know, going to dinner or to lunch or something. It's really, you know, it's not that big a deal, and it's great because I get to talk myself into smoking a cigar every time. So I get to sit outside here, and talk into my computer, and smoke a cigar and share with you this information. So it wasn't that hard to convince me. Now, am I an expert on the subject? I suppose so. And we're creating audio and video products. We're actually using Webinar. It's a live product that we can then go back and show you step-by-step some of the things you're doing that makes it interactive, which is pretty cool, right, guys? Absolutely. Interaction is good. All right. And it also gives us the ability to create a PDF transcript. Now, it'll cost me, or cost Richard, about $250 to have this whole thing transcribed, the entire series, all 5 hours. All right, $50 an hour, something like that, is about expected for a decent transcriptionist. Now, 5 hours of content, which really is going to be more like 7, how many pages of content do you think that'll be, Richard? I can't remember what the actual, I talk really fast. I think I'm around 60 pages an hour.
Already?
So it's something like that. You know, when I'm actually on a roll, and I edit it down maybe 30 pages because I say a lot of random superfluous stuff, but hopefully you'll have some good stuff. And all right, so Barbara brought up a really good point here. Now I'm gonna segue into this because, first off, interviewing an expert is great because it's very rapid. This is something you can do basically instantaneously. A 1-hour conversation with an expert on a single topic that is directed, that answers a problem, is a good quality content product you can sell for good money. Now, in any niche, this is not just marketing, it's not just business building, this is in any niche. I can take a great expert in golf, interview them for an hour, and find out good information and sell it on chip shots. And how to get out of the sand. All we do is have an hour-long interview by phone or by video. Video would be ideal for that. And I can sell that for $50. Content. I can do the same thing in basically any other market. I'll have great content, all right? So that's good, right? That's pretty exciting. And Scott Bailey brings up an important point. That's instant credibility. Now, Barbara's point, and this is what I'm poorly segueing into, is that the only problem with an interview expert is that it's too short. She says, we value your brains, ideas, and want an ongoing relationship with you if possible. Now, you know what, Barbara? I would love to have an ongoing relationship with you guys. There'll be options for that later. We'll be talking about it more in the future, because if you guys know anything about me by now, you should know that I'm not going to create a product that's short-sighted. Anything I'm doing with you guys, and you should be modeling this in your own business, is to be able to sell you something more in the future that'll work with you and partner with you on projects in the future. Because my goal is to be able to build employees, to be able to build partners, to be able to build JVs, to be able to build apprentices. The same thing I'm doing with Richard. Initially, he was working with me, and now we're partnering on products. But we'll hopefully have the same opportunity to do the same thing with you, Barbara. And the cool thing is, you can do that same thing with your expert, especially if you can convince them to doing a series where they're doing 2, 3, 4, 5 calls with you, or webinars, or live events, or whatever. You can then have a list of people who loved what you've done and are willing to pay a bit more to work with them long term, to work with them and gain more information, to get a more in-depth perspective, not just the overviews. All right, does that sound good to you guys? Can you see how that can work for your business? It's the same way it will work with this. Watch what we do with our upsell at the end of this series. Watch what we do with the way that the ongoing education works. Watch what we do when we start talking to you in different ways through Richard's list, through my list, through our blogs. You'll start to learn that even though it sounds like a short perspective on the front end, you actually have a lot of growth in the future. So that's pretty cool things, right, guys? Yeah, Eric, that's great. All right. So Bruce asked a great question. I will go back and figure out the rest of these questions. I'm going to go slowly through these. Bruce asked probably the most pertinent question of all. And Bruce's question is, why would an expert want to talk to me? Now, you guys, is that a good question for everybody? Why would an expert want to work with you? Well, it's easy. Most experts, especially authors and speakers, aren't that famous. They don't make that much money. They're really looking to find ways that they can make money with what they know instead of what they do. All right? Now, you can actually get a lot of guys, like, I'll do a call with most people if there's a way for me to build my list or a way for me to build my brand in any of my markets, photography, any of the markets I'm an expert in. I'm willing to take time to talk to a list for very little money or for a percentage or sometimes even for free if the exposure is greater than. And you'll find that almost every person out there is the same way. I actually just recently was interviewed for a series called 3K in 30 Days, How to Make $3,000 in 30 Days or Less, $3,000 a month in 30 Days or Less. And the guy whose name did it was Alex DeVos. You can find it at 3kin30days.com. And Alex created this course and came up with the idea. And, you know, he knocked it out of the park. The reason it went off so well was the fact that really all he had to do was ask. He asked 10 experts that were all – he was at a workshop. He had 10 internet marketing experts. If they'd be interviewed, I think 7 of them said yes, and I got 3 or 4 more for him. And bam, he has a great course on how to make $3,000 in 30 days or less. They're 20-minute interviews, and it's great content. You guys will want to have a copy of that when it releases. So that's one way of doing it. Really, all it takes, Bruce, is asking the question. Why would an expert want to talk to you? You give them a reason why. It's going to build their list, it's going to build their brand, or it's going to put money in their pocket. Or you're just a nice guy and they should do it to help you. And trust me, sometimes that's enough of a reason. All right, Reed, ask that question about copywriting again later. Jeet says it sounds great. Rick asks, how do you get contacts to interview? If you guys are in the right market, Rick, and you actually have you've done your research the way you're supposed to, which is, you know, finding a marketplace that has competition, you already have your experts to interview. You can interview your competition, find out their greatest tips and tricks, and then sell that interview. And they'll gladly, almost always, they'll gladly promote it for you because they're in it. And it builds their brand to have one more course out there. And they'll oftentimes do the interview for free. You can come in and say, hey, listen, I'm developing a course. I think you're an expert, and I'd love to have your information. Oh, hey, would you mind promoting? Usually ask about the promotion thing after they've already done it when they see how great the interview went. All right? Scott Bailey says we should turn this into a $1,000 course. Scott, this is going to be a small piece, the introduction piece to what will be a much, much more mid-scale course. We had one page of information about that we're going to cover on these 5 hours or 4 hours of conversation with you. And the full course that we have developed has over 8 pages of information, 8 pages of bullets of what we're going to be covering. So really cool stuff. John wants to know, why are some advertising so long? Doesn't it put more people off? No, John, it statistically doesn't. It differs from market to market, but really long copy works great. So good stuff. Reed Russell says he's the next favorite JV for Cedar Genetics Marketing coming in November. Reed, drop me an email, man. I'd love to hear what you're talking about. Product to promote. Jeez, I don't know what that's talking about. Let's see here. It's flattering. Scott says it's flattering. Yeah, you know, Scott hit a good point. When you're trying to interview people, and you're trying to find people who are interested in finding information out, it is flattering to be considered an expert because we oftentimes don't feel like we're the best in the world. And if you say we are, hot dang, somebody believes in us and we're excited about it. So Patrick just asked, where do we find the experts? I just told you. Hopefully you figure that out. Jeet asked, Sally wants to know if you guys get a discount. Yes, you get a discount. We're not talking anymore about the upsell, dang it. Giving away my marketing. 2 things you can do to increase the probability of getting an interview is be a good affiliate or be a good customer of the expert. Gee, that's a good point. One of the things, and just to simplify, because being a good affiliate can take some work, but one of the best things you can do for your business is to just simply buy their product, read it, and talk about why you liked it. If you send an email, talk about why you like what someone has done, they're going to love you for it. Is that pretty simple? All right. Petra says there's something wrong with the sound. Is there any problem with everyone else? Is there we don't sound?
Does it sound good to you? A slight bit of distortion or crackling or static.
Is it still legible, guys, or should I try to figure something else out on this left? Should we take a 5-minute break and try to figure something else out? Good so far?
Bit of crackle.
Still works. Kind of scratchy. Okay. Alright, I hopefully we'll fix this. I've got nothing uploading or downloading. I'm going to switch to a different network. I'm plugged in. Hopefully this will work. So hang on just 1 second. If I lose you, I'll be back. Hopefully bringing internet in from 2 sides will work. All right. Nice and clear. Okay. Got some slight static. Get back to the outline. Oh, come on, Bob. You're going to be a party pooper, man. This is on the outline. We're answering questions. Man, Bob is intense, man. He's one of those guys like you, Richard.
Yeah, no one will get the fact.
I love it. All right, so let's get back to the outline. Next bullet point. Hiring a ghostwriter for your ebook your email addresses or your own name. You can use sites
okay.
like
the audio is bad.
What's that? Audio is bad. Worse. Okay.
It's worse.
I'm trying to get back now. It's a good thing that worked again. I'm dialed into an online and a regular one.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me better?
No, it's kind of like a double echo.
That's really good. Is that better?
Say that again?
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
It's like you're talking from underwater.
My goodness gracious, I have tried everything I can on this one. The phone system would be forever. How about now?
That seems better, I think.
Is that better for everybody?
Yeah, much better.
Echo out. Sound like are you underwater? Are you going into character? Yes, less I went into character. Water, much less better. Perfect. Okay, so we're good now. You can actually hear me. We're good. You promise. All right. You were okay before. All right, let's see here. I have changed nothing now. I'm right back the exact same way I was, so hopefully this works. All right, you guys ready to talk about ghostwriters? Here, we're going to get back on the outline for everybody. All right, hiring a ghostwriter to create an ebook for you under a pseudonym. You can go to elance.com. Guru.com, getafreelancer.com, freelance.com is another one. Rentacoder.com, you don't use that one for this, but you can use workaholicsforhire.com. There are a lot of sites like this you can find good writers. Now, hiring a ghostwriter, there are a lot of other ways. I like to do it differently than using those sites. But the simple fact of the matter is those sites do work. And here's why they work. They work because you actually have the ability to rate your writer. It's just like eBay where you have feedback. You can find whether or not a writer is complete crap or good before you even have to work with them. Now, what that means to you is you don't have to throw money away. So when you go to Elance or Guru or anything like that, my friend Armin Warren always likes to say, this is, in the description, this is a very easy job for someone who knows what they're doing. So that's a good script to put in your bid. What I usually put up when I do use Elance or something like that, I will say, hey there, I have a project, whatever the project is, and I say something along the lines of, it's a niche product in the sports market, or it's a niche product in the blank market. Not the niche, just talk about the market, because there are marketers who go in trolling for niche ideas, because they haven't taken this course, they don't know how to find it any other way. So you want to say something along the lines of, this is a great product idea in the blank market. Need someone who is a capable, talented writer. Should be very easy for someone who is. Like to have someone who is good at writing fiction and a good researcher. Right? Here, now, I'll get into some of my other selection strategies for using other programs or other ways of finding outsourcers, but hiring a ghostwriter using Elance and Guru, those are the kind of things you want to take. So if you guys write notes on that, do I need to repeat it, or do you have it down so far? Going off the cuff here, so hopefully this makes sense to you.
I'm taking notes anyway, as always, so I'm going to sit down for a good 2 hours and go through this and put it into the PDF.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much, Richard. I appreciate it. So everybody says they've got it except for Sally. Sally, I'll make sure that you understand it later. If you have any problems, leave a note on the blog after you get the PDF, because hopefully that little idea made sense. And I'll actually have Richard send me what he's going to put into the PDF, and I'll edit it so you have a word-for-word explanation of what you can put on Elance or Guru or Get a Freelancer or any of those sites I mentioned to, you know, find a good outsource that you can count on. Sound good, everybody? Hip, hip, hooray! Next bullet. Okay, what is the cost to use them? I can't believe I was going to throw this over. This would be really bad. Back it up one. What is the cost to use them? All right, you can find good writers for $200. All right, but I would not use them. I usually pay between $600 and $2,000 for a book. There's a reason for that, because I would rather find someone that I know is going to be qualified, someone that I know is going to have good quality content, that's going to be directed, that's going to have a lot of experience in that market, that knows what they're doing, and pay a little bit more for it. But if you're looking at having something created that you can count on being pretty good quality and you can't afford that much money, you can spend $100, $200, $300 and get some product that's written by someone who doesn't have quite as much experience on that site, doesn't have quite as much feedback. I don't like being the first feedback. I don't like being the first five usually. I like to find someone who has, you know, some track record, some history to what they've done, they can prove, you know, they know what's happening. All right, Patrick wants to know, how will we know to specify the length of the ebook or how much to pay for it? Good question again. So talking about the length of the ebook, here is the biggest secret again. You now have your competition's ebooks, you know what's in them, you know how long they are, you know what kind of a story they have, you know if they're written like a textbook or if they're written like a novel. So you know how long your ebook has to be, what kind of a book story you should have inside the book, what kind of information you should have inside the book. All you have to do is create something that has a very similar feel. You know, something that has, their books are 60 to 80 pages or 200 pages. Just create something that has 60, 80 to 200 pages, whatever the number is, in that market that the market is comfortable with. In my opinion, a book is just like a sales letter. It should be as long as it needs to be, but not longer. Scott Bailey wants to know how much I would charge for a $200 to $300 ebook from a ghostwriter. Scott, it depends completely on the marketplace. If I'm in the golf market, I've paid, for instance, on my golf ball book, I paid, I think, $800 for the first draft, and then when I had it rewritten, I paid $600 to have it rewritten, and then I paid $400 for the 2.0 version that was the upgrade with all the latest stuff. So I was in it, let's see, $1,800 into this product, something like that. We sold it for $37, and we sold over $20,000 worth. Is that a pretty good investment to make 20 grand? I think that makes sense to me. So I'll do that every day of the week if I can. So, all right. I think those questions are answered. Let's go ahead and jump to the next bullet. Create a set of video tutorials. Go ahead. This one's for you. I think this is something you know more about than I do.
Okay. So, yeah, we covered kind of an audio interview or an ebook. Something I found useful, particularly in a very technical market, such as internet marketing or anything online, is it often helps to have video tutorials where you can kind of do a show and tell type product. So you can either use something like Camtasia, which is about $300, or there is something else, Cam Studio, or Cam Studio IM.
There's a bunch of them.
Which is free, yeah.
There's a bunch of them. If you're on a Mac, the best one to use is ScreenFlow. ScreenFlow is awesome. There are a couple of other options out there. Just search for screen capture software and see what works best. I like Camtasia for the PC, ScreenFlow for the Mac. The new Camtasia for Mac should be good too. But, you know, they also offer, a lot of them offer free versions. Like Camtasia has a free version that you can find on any freeware site that they gave away for about a year.
So, yeah, so videos actually do make a great product, if it fits the market, of course. And they can be useful as either a front-end product or if you want a higher priced upsell as well. And you can have them digital or you can put them on a DVD and have them shipped out on DVD. A site like kunaki.com, that's KUNAKI.com, will print on-demand DVDs for like $1.75. So it can be a really, really great way to create a product with a higher perceived value as well, rather than just a standard ebook. I know even though Eric works with ebooks day in, day out, and it can be very, very profitable, it's just a different format you can use. And again, you can
absolutely have
the ebook as the front end and then have the more detailed video tutorials as the upsell. And again, you can do it with free tools, like free screen capture software. You can use a PowerPoint presentation. And if you use something like Camtasia as well, you can strip the audio from it and instantly create the audio version, get it transcribed and have the PDF, so you can have the videos, the audios, and the PDF as well, plus the PowerPoint presentation. So you can add kind of a lot to the actual product just from one core video series. Does that make
good
sense?
Good stuff. Good stuff. It does. To repeat the name of the source of the DVD duplicator, you want to go to KUNAKI.com, Kunaki. I'll actually send it out to everyone so you can have that in your questions area, your questions and answers. So that's good stuff. I've started doing a lot of work in selling products that have multimedia, not just audio, not just video, not just books, but actually having everything involved so that whatever their learning style is, you can actually develop information. Jeet asked if either of us use Dismojo. I never have. Have you used that?
No, I use a script from PayPal, kunaki.com. It's a third-party script. It it does take some configuration. I know, I think Diskmojo is pretty much a plug and play solution, but the one I use, you can actually get access to the code. So I've tweaked it a bit to suit my own needs, such as for trial subscriptions and different things like that. So it gives you a bit more flexibility, but I think Diskmojo, from what I've heard, works just fine.
Cool. Cool deal. All right, and just to further confuse you and make you feel ADD like me, if you click on the chat tab in your GoToWebinar panel, you can see a picture of my 1970 bug that just caused me all this hell the last week. All right, back into it, guys. Let's see. Getting the product created. Okay, so the tutorials. Next one. Let's take it away.
Okay, so the point is, if you know the niche market, you may be able to create it yourself. But what we really want to teach you with this is that you can go into any market you want, and by outsourcing and doing things this way, you can go into any niche, regardless of what you know about it, and create a product. I mean, Eric, you're in
Absolutely.
Tons of different niches, and you know very little about most of them, I would imagine.
In all honesty, you know, I've used this statistic before. I sold $50,000-$60,000 worth of golf products before I'd ever picked up a club. You know, over I found markets I knew would be profitable, and I've learned to love the game. I actually love golfing now, but it was never a passion for me because I just knew that it was a market I could make money in, and obviously did so. So now I have even more of a reason to develop products in that market. But good stuff. So
I have a question from Petru. Says, I'm kind of shy for making video tutorials because I have an accent. Should I pay someone else to do it for me? One thing you can do is create a video and create a script to go along with it. Eric, what would you suggest?
Well, first off, I'll ask this. Petra, are you a man or a woman? Because if you're a woman with a Romanian accent, we should talk. Because I think that's a beautiful accent. A very good friend of mine is a man from Romania as well, and he's got a great accent. Your accent is a really powerful thing because you actually have the ability to create a brand for yourself as the crazy Romanian, or as the blank Romanian, or as the blank Romanian. This past weekend, I was hanging out with my buddy who's Romanian, and he's actually from Transylvania, and he's like the Dracula of the internet marketing space, who also used to be the Romanian wrestling champion. And so he has this cool little accent, and he's got a funny, you know, personality, and it works for him. So if you really are shy because of your accent, I mean, anyone should be. It should be Richard, right? But he does tons of videos. So,
thanks, Eric.
You know, absolutely, brother. That's what I'm here for. But honestly, if you are concerned about that, don't be. And, you know, if you have any issue that you really are concerned, you can actually, you know, move forward and you can hire voice actors, ask your friends, you can, you know, it's anyone that's real. I really recommend doing it yourself. If you're going to outsource it at all, you know, because you don't know the market or whatnot, create a script and anybody can read it. Make sure they're passionate in the way they speak. You know, you don't want to have someone, hi, my name is Petra and I'm here to help you. That's not going to be good. You know, you want someone that's, you know, more Eric, less Richard, basically.
Thanks again, Eric.
I'm trying to get you off on your feet, man.
Right. Flattery will get you nowhere.
That's right. All right. Mishak wants to know if I outsource the sales letters also. You know, Mishak, complete transparency, I've written over 200 sales letters, somewhere around 240 sales letters. And to be completely honest, I am really tired of writing sales letters. I'm very good at it, but I'm kind of over it. So I do outsource all my copywriting now. Initially, that's something I did not outsource because it's very expensive. I'm testing out a few new sources for some sales letters under $1,000. It will obviously need some editing and some dressing up, but just for some things I can give out. After I see how those go, I will let you know. Be sure to ask that question on the blog, and I will try to give you some good sources for sales letters at different price points. But really, I mean, you have an issue of doing what you're best at. You know, I am very good at sales writing sales copy, but it's not my preference, and now I can afford not to have to do it. So, Scott wants to know if my products help my golf game. Actually, they have extensively. Especially the senior golf book, because of my broken back and all the injuries I've had, I'm kind of like an old person, so the senior golf book really helped my swing. All right, let's see here. Barbara is making us both feel better. Yes, Barbara, you're absolutely right. My confidence and passion is my brand, and Richard is methodical brilliance and order. And human side is his brand. That's what I absolutely love about the dude. It's why we work together. So, all right, let's get a jump away from questions and answers and move on over to our wonderful world of whatever it is we're working on next.
Okay, so hiring
ghostwriters. Go ahead.
Yeah, hiring ghostwriters, a bit more in-depth. I think Eric's going to speak about a few different ways he does this. So if you can't write yourself, or you don't know the niche, outsourcing is really going to be your new best friend when it comes to creating a product. So again, we mentioned places you can find writers online, which is getafreelancer.com, elance.com, and I'll give you a list of those in the PDF as well. But I know something that Eric does quite frequently is consider college students. Do you want to talk a bit about that, Eric?
Yeah, sure. In all honesty, I call this my secret weapon because it is. I mean, it's probably saved me. It's cost me a lot. It saved me a lot, but it worked really hard to be able to figure out what the best method was to using it. And long story short, what I do is I go to colleges because these are the best writers. You're going to find people who are passionate and young. I like young people because I'm young. I will probably always have issues working with 40 and 50 year old people because they do have a little bit of worrisome, taking orders from someone who's 22 years old. Whereas a college student is like, wow, you made it successful early. Good job. I wish I were you. So what I do, because I like to give back, and my real passion is helping people, is what I've grown up doing in ministry. And being able to do it in my business is kind of a cool thing. And so what I've done is I go to colleges, and I find professors of history and English, all right? Now, this is the thing right here. They're history or English majors who love novels. I find that Stephen King, patrons of Stephen King are the best. They're also Robert Ludlum nuts, Tom Clancy nuts, people who write with really evocative system, evocative language, who are able to describe a story and create a story that seems, overwhelmingly real and comfortable and, interesting. Those are the people I find have the most value for me. And how I find the ones that work the best is I go to a professor, I say, I want the guy who turns in their papers early. I want the guy who's a star student, who is great at what they do, who loves to read, who loves to learn, who's a great researcher. That's why history students are great, because they're fabulous researchers. And I want the one that is going to have trouble making their tuition next year. I want the one that is slightly struggling and throwing away their gifting by working at Pizza Hut. It might always do that. Can you give me a couple of recommendations? And they almost always have one. Some of them have three, four, five recommendations for me. And it's gotten to the point now where I don't even have to do that because those students are recommending other students to me. And we started to build this conglomerate of different writers. But finding, someone who needs the money that I can pay $20 an hour to write a book for me. I usually pay by the project instead of by the hour. I usually end up paying my first book $200 to $300. And then as they go on, the next book I'll double it. The next book I'll go up 20%. The next book I'll go up 20%. And then by the end we're paying at least $1,000 a book. But by then they know that I want the book back in 48 to 72 hours. I want it done really fast. I want them to follow my parameters. I want them to do the research, the answers to the questions I have. I'm going to give them all my competitors' books. I'm going to give them the bullet points, the things it needs to answer. I'm going to give them the, ideas. I'm going to tell them where else they could possibly look. And they're going to have all that stuff in their hands. All they have to do is just read the other products and create a good story, create a good character for me. Now, if I don't have the lead done, the sales letter that tells the story of the character, which usually by that point I do, but if I don't, I sometimes have them write the lead to my sales letter, have them come up with the story that should be there. All right, you guys see how this could be so much easier, or why this could be really remarkably easy? All of a sudden I have someone who's passionate about whatever it is they're in because they're making three times as much as they can be making at Domino's. It's kind of a cool thing. I mean, and you're really changing someone's life in the process, which I've always found to be a blessing. So that's my thing. Pam says it's great stuff. Scott likes it. Bob likes it. Good. Bob, when people call me brilliant, I'm not sure whether to be shy or ecstatic. So thank you very much, Bob. All right. Anybody else have any thoughts on this? This is one of the things that I think has been the most impactful in my business, to realize I didn't have to come up with any content because I could find other people who were much better at writing a book than I am. The one book, I'm working on two books, and one of them I've been working on for over 4 years. If I had a ghostwriter take over 4 years to write a book for me, it would never happen, right? So, you know, in all honesty, I'm actually looking and talking to a couple of ghostwriters right now to help me finish my book because I can't get all the content out of my head in time. So, do we have to have an ebook? Sally wants to know. No, Sally, you don't. Absolutely not. But what you can do is you can have a ghostwriter create an ebook or a PDF or a PowerPoint or something like what we have right here that you can then be interviewed or the expert that can be interviewed. You just don't have to do the research. You don't have to put things together. The goal is to find ways that you can limit the amount of work you're putting into this. Bruce wants to know if there are any copyright issues with college. Absolutely not. You're talking to college students. You're not talking to the college itself. You're going to a professor individually, not as a college resource. And Sally, on a shoestring budget, absolutely. If you're looking to save money, you're probably looking to make money faster. My encouragement is that you find someone else to help you with the content, unless it's your gifting. You know, if you're gifted in writing books and building content, then that's fine. But if you're not, if you're like me, where you're good at developing concepts and that kind of thing, I'd say invest a couple hundred bucks into something. Make sure it's going to work right. Once you've done your market research, you know, you're on a lot better track to having this actually be completed than you would be trying to complete it yourself. That's just my two cents. In all honesty, I talk to people a lot. This is a question that comes up a lot. And they say, well, what if I'm on a shoestring budget? What if I don't have the money? What if I can't do this? What if I can't afford it? I say, go get a job. Because the chances of you being able to put all these pieces together yourself, the web design, the graphic design, the copywriting, the products, the chances of you doing that all yourself in a short enough order that you're still motivated to do it are very, very slim. If you have to go and clean houses, babysit, work at Domino's, whatever, for a little while, sometimes it's one of the best things you can do for yourself.
There's a good question from Barbara about using pseudonyms. Is it a recommended thing to use a pseudonym when people are nervous about the impact of incredible success on one's private and personal life? Or is it a wasted opportunity to develop your own brand, your own name?
We talked about this some the first week. Barbara, one thing that you have to remember with pseudonyms, it depends on what your marketing plan is. If you're getting into a market that you love, that you want to be the expert in, then don't use someone else's name. If you're getting into a market that you don't care about or that you're not the expert in, that you don't expect to be the expert in, you don't want to use your own name. You want to develop a character because, you know, the problem is if you develop, you know, 8 products in different markets, like I'm obviously a man of many interests. My dad is a speaker as well. My dad has been teaching homeschool families for years, as is my mom. And they used to speak on stage about me, and my dad would always say, my son is like a mosquito in a nudist colony. He doesn't know what passion he'll land on next. You know, so I have a lot of passions. And it's true. I have so many different desirable things out there that if I tried to be the expert online in all the things that I'm an expert in, because I'm an expert surprising number of things that I've done so many different things. And that, you know, it would make me look like a fraud in all of them. I have to create characters for my expertise in some of those markets because if I try to be an expert in 8 or 10 different markets, even though I am an expert or considered an expert in those markets, or at least well above average, it destroys my own branding because I just can't. You can't be that. You can't be everything for everybody, basically what I'm saying. Sally wants to know if I'm a Gemini. I know it's that Sally, I'm a Capricorn. I fit a Capricorn better anyway. All right. Next slide.
So let's get into you creating the copy for the website. Again, as with all this, outsourcing, if you can, is going to be the easy way to do it and the quick way to get things done.
Absolutely. Outsourcing is the best way to save time. And you're going to be studying your competition again. You're going to be modeling what they're doing right, what their stories are, what's similar about their stories, their benefits, their bullets, their offer, their bonuses, their guarantees. You want to go through all these things to see what it is that's selling for them, what's working, what's making money for them, that you can then model into your business. Now, we're outsourcing the product, the copy research here. Now, I'm going to talk really briefly about outsourcing the copy itself. Again, that'll be some information we'll reveal later. I'm going to find out how this new source works. If they work well, then I'll be really pleased to go share them with you because they're just a few hundred bucks. Otherwise, I would recommend talking to James Lee. I'm not sure. Let me find out what his website is. I can't remember. I apologize. What is your website? All right. It's in the Skype. I will find out what his website is. James Lee is great. He's one of my copywriters. Chris Haddad. I've recommended him before. HaddadInk.com. HaddadInk.com. He's expensive. There are some other marketplaces that you can find and work with. But that's for outsourcing copy. Now, if you're going to, James's website is www.onlinebusinessfreedom.com. Onlinebusinessfreedom.com. And he's going to cost you anywhere between $2,500 and $5,000 a letter. So he's not cheap, but he's good. And he's less expensive than Haddad. If you want to learn to write copy yourself, who would like me to give you a couple quick resources for that? Let's get some interaction back in here. Nobody said yes to me in a while. Who wants to? Here we go. Me. Yes. I use Michael Fortin. I bet you do, Scott. Michelle's a good friend. All right. Rob is so serious. He says me twice. All right. Jumping ahead, to give you some really good research resources for copy, you need to go to www.marketingrebel.com. Marketingrebel.com. I have a new link. Let me find this link really quick for you. John just sent me an email. He's actually giving away some really fabulous information. This is John Carlton's blog. Our John Carlton's blog is marketingrebel.com or john-carlton.com. John-carlton.com. You can also go to another site. This is my personal marketing or copywriting mentor. I love this guy to death. He's great. You can find it. And his new product he's in the middle of pre-launch for, and he has, summarily, when you do a launch, you give away good content. So you can find that at simplewritingsystem.com/blog. Once again, simplewritingsystem.com/blog. And it's the John Carlton Simple Writing System Kick-Ass 2.0 from John Carlton. It's Systematic Simplicity is the first name, is the first one. And mind you, if you get on these lists, you're going to find a ton of people out there who are going to be, giving away information, trying to sell you information. I'm just saying, you can't afford $2,000 or $3,000 for this course. What he does have is really good information that you can learn for free. Another blog you should check out is David Garfinkel. Now, David Garfinkel is a funny name, G-A-R-F-I-N-K-E-L, davidgarfinkel.com. You also can find more information on him. WorldCopywritingInstitute.com. Giving out a lot of these really fast. Again, davidgarfinkel.com, marketingrebel.com, john-carlton.com, worldcopywritinginstitute.com, simplewritingsystem.com. I know that our buddy Richard will have a lot of information for you, and we'll just go from there. Reed wants to know, this is actually a good question I can twist. Reed wants to know how much he should charge for writing copy, because he's been asked how to write copy for others. This is judge anyone that's writing your copy. You need to ask them what their successes are. How much money they've made. I recently met a guy who does launches like I do, and he's a great guy. He's very talented. He hasn't had a lot of experience yet, and he's extremely sharp at what he's doing. In all honesty, I'm impressed by his mentality. His biggest launch to date is $140,000. My biggest launch to date is about $4 million. Now, there's obviously a differentiation there. I charge almost 10 times what he charges for launch. I charge five times more, and over time I charge about 25 times more than what he charges for a launch. So I believe that my benefits make that worthwhile, and so does he. So you want to pay for what you're getting. So if you're working with someone who is extremely experienced, and you can prove that they've done a lot in your market, that writes great stories, then you're pretty confident they're going to work well for you. You don't have the success stories yet, they don't have the success stories yet, don't pay them that much and don't expect to charge that much. Pay little until you become great. Or charge little until you become great. I'm trying to speak to two different sides here. All right. Next slide, I guess. I think, is that enough for everybody? Does everybody make sense here of this copywriting thing? I kind of didn't stop talking for 9 minutes straight, so hopefully that was good. Yeah, good.
Everyone's good. All right. Good.
I'm breathing now, so this is a good story. All right, finding partners to promote. Everybody want to learn about that a little bit, figure out what it is that you can do? We talked about the script on that last week. We talked about a little bit about what you can do to find those partners using competition. And we're going to do that again. We're actually going to break it back away into Internet Explorer or Firefox a little bit, Richard, just so you know.
Okay.
Is that we're going to go a little bit late on this. It's been an hour since I got on. It's been 50 minutes since we really got rolling. And I'd like to take it for at least another 20 minutes, but that's cool with everybody. Is that cool with everybody? Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Oh, really quick, other good people. Bensavinga Bullets. Bensavinga is one of my favorite copywriters, and this information he gives is fabulous. Thank you, Reed, very much for presenting this. This is great stuff. You're going to find BensavingaBullets.com. Now, it is spelled just like it sounds. BENCIVENGA. BENCIVENGA Bullets.com. BensavingaBullets.com. Now, he also recommends Clayton Makepeace. Clayton's stuff is great. I don't like his teaching style as much as David Garfinkel or John Carlton's, but they're great stuff as well. You can find Clayton Makepeace, ClaytonMakepeace.com. But he has a good blog that has good information. I highly recommend Vince Vega Bullets. So there aren't a ton of them, and it's great content. The other one you should check out is for sure the GaryHalbertLetter.com. I knew Gary before he passed. He's a great guy. Everyone calls him the biggest jerk in their marketing. It's true. But he's a very lovable guy. He wrote a lot of letters to his son that he then published on that website. Really fabulous content on there that I could personally recommend. So that's really, I mean, I'm giving you like 10 years of education here. You're going to take forever to go through all of it, but you'll definitely enjoy it. So, all right. I'm going to breathe for a second. What I'm going to talk to you about next is going to be exactly what Richard's about to read to you while I catch my breath.
Okay, so hopefully, having done all of your market research, you already have some potential partners who can promote you. So we've gone out and we found competition in the different markets. We've studied their websites, studied their content, and we know they've got a profitable business, and there is a list somewhere that we can tap into. So by knowing that, we already have potential partners who can promote. So one thing we want to do first is leverage the competition. Then you can go on to leveraging relationships that you have. Obviously, if you're just entering a niche, you may not have that many relationships, but it's something you can build over time. Well, sorry, go ahead, Eric.
Chances are, and this is kind of a logical leap, but chances are, if you guys remember the first week, the homework I had you do, you wrote down a bunch of niches. Some of them you didn't care about at all. Chances are there are a couple that you actually know a few things about yourself that your passion, you know, might somewhat direct toward. And so you may actually have relationships with those niches. And if you don't, you can build them. Social media comes into play. Twitter, MySpace, Facebook, use social media, use forums to build relationships with the experts in those markets that have lists. You know, find ways that you can interact, because before social media, this would be a lot tougher. But now that we have, you know, ways that don't require you to send an email or an actual letter to build a relationship, you can build a relationship in a much more comfortable manner using any of those tools. So, continuing on, I'll talk about the script in a second. I guess I'll take it back over, Richard. I guess I'm done breathing.
Okay.
All right. All the research came into play because you know there are people out there who can promote you because you found out they had the list. You figured out what their opt-in rate was. You figured all this information out. You can also figure out all those things, opt-in rate, those kind of things, by using an affiliate link and promoting their products through pay-per-click and that kind of thing as well. So those are some great, you know, very talented things you can do as well. So, all right. This is where all the research. Leveraging competition. To leverage competition, it starts with one. I like that song by what's their name, but starts with one. All right, you're going to send an email. You're going to drop them a line on the phone if their phone number is listed. If you have a website, list a phone number. It doesn't have to be your phone number. You can get an answering service. List a phone number of some way that you can actually have a method that, you know, keeps people abreast of you. So call them, email them. One of the things you can do that I do a lot, you can go to, what's the site's or domain? I got a GoDaddy.
Whois.net?
Yeah, whois.net is the one I was going to talk about. I always forget that domain, so I get a GoDaddy and I search the domain name that I find it. But whois.net will tell you what their registry is. And if they have a public listing, they'll have a phone number, usually an address, an email. You can contact them there as well. Because sometimes your chances of actually reaching them are higher by reaching them through their registration email or registration phone number than the one that's listed on their website. So that's a great tip. Whois.net. All right. So That's one thing. Contact your competition. I'm going to give you the script of how to talk to them in a bit. Leveraging relationships is going to be asking people. For instance, I have that daycare product. I've shown you the website for the daycare product. If you haven't seen it, it's daycarestartupsecrets.com. It's still in pre-launch. It's not done yet. Yeah, we have a few things we're going to add to it. It's been in pre-launch for months. I just haven't had time to focus on it right now. But haven't made time, I should say. But that marketplace, I don't have a list of work-at-home moms or people who want to be work-at-home moms. So I asked a couple of my friends who I thought might know someone who would have a list of work-at-home moms. What would have it? First person I asked, yeah, I have a friend who might have that. Let me introduce you to over Twitter. Bam. Introduction made. I ended up, she flew down to meet me in San Antonio when I was there. We had a conversation. She said the product sounds fabulous. The marketing sounds great. Sounds like it's a good process. Here are a few of the things I would like to see you do before I promote it to my list. Now, each of the things she had me do before she promoted to her list are fabulous additions, things I would not have thought of. She wants us to add checklists, like what to feed your kids, etc. Reed, that is exactly who's doing it, actually. Exactly who's doing it. So, you know, there's very good information there, and, you know, it's a good way to go. Sally wants to know, when we have our website, should we be private or public? Sally, that depends on what your brand is going to be. If you're going to be creating characters in multiple markets, I recommend using private listings. You'll discover that, except for the markets I talk about publicly, all of my listings are private. So if you're going to have just the one that's your market to start with, then you can use your own name. But if it's markets that you are, you know, not in any way affiliated with, you don't want to have your name associated with, sometimes people will do the who is on you to check out and see whether or not it's a scam. And that's just the way that some of these websites work. So, all right. Good stuff. Leveraging relationships, asking your friends or other internet marketers if they know someone who might have a list in blank. You'd be amazed at how small the networks are in this space. There are hundreds of thousands of people who want to become internet marketers. There are a few who are actually already doing it and doing it successfully. Those few almost all know each other within 1 to 2 degrees of separation. So, cool stuff. All right. Let's see here. Finding partners to promote. Let's go over to Firefox really quick, if you don't mind, Richard.
Sure.
Sweet.
Okay, is that showing up?
It is. Open a new tab. Go to www.google.com. Actually, I'm good at howtobreak80.com. All right, howtobreak80. This is, if you guys remember last week, everybody remember last week? We haven't had an interaction in a while. All right. We remember last week, yes. Pam remembers. Pam is good. Pam is always like Johnny on the spot. She's the first one. I think you have the fastest keyboard in the West. All right. If you remember last week, you remember that How to Break 80 is Jack Morehouse's. It's one of his characters. He's a great guy. And Jack's site, we discovered, was very successful. It had a lot of backlinks, a lot of page links, had a lot of content pages on their site. Obviously, is a very smart marketer. Now we're going to go copy the domain name, go to Google, or wherever you want to find backlinks. Just find backlinks for me. So look at that. Offer. Don't navigate away. This is great marketing here. A virtual agent would like to talk to you live and in person right now. All right, we're going to find backlinks. That means links, : howtobreak80.com. Or link. Link, : actually. My bad. All right. Now, if you look, we have 56 backlinks. You know the way to find them. All right. If we look, we have Coaching News Online. We have approved articles. We have Tom's Golf Tips. Now, that one looks like a pretty good one. Perform Better Golf. eBiz India. All right. Let's look at performbettergolf.com. That's there you go. Fourth one. Now, this site right here. If you go to home. We go home, we're going to see that there are a lot of different products available and that they are obviously promoting, I'm going to guess, as an affiliate. And do you think that you can get your product, if you have a golf product, could you get your product on the site? Yes, Eric, I could. Because chances are you drop them an email, you say, hey, I have a product like to add to your site, I'll be happy to give you a free copy. And I would actually also be interested in adding your site and the reviews you're giving to my autoresponder sequence. We call that the Holy Grail. When you get added to someone's autoresponder sequence, it means that they are, every time someone joins their list, eventually they will receive information about your product. Now, if you look, you have a contact us link with a phone number, et cetera, all right? You see how this works? You have the form, you can fill things out. It's good stuff. Now, Mike Pedersen, I know that guy, he's a good guy. So you have an opportunity to actually build value. You guys with me so far? We're literally stealing, borrowing, blending, learning, etc., what it is that our competitors are using that's making them money. All right? If our competitors are actively using this site and it's making them money, then it's probably a good thing for everybody, right? Let's go back to Google really quick. Just go back
to the listings.
Yeah, back to listings. Now let's check out tomsgolftips.com. This is their number three backlink, guys. This is like someone who is actually, the Google respects that it's powerful and important to Google. That's a pretty good sign. All right, this site is ugly. This site is weird. There's way too much white space. But look at that How to Break 80 link. You see this? Now, what's that link on the left? How to guarantee to cut 7 stars from your score. What's that one on the left? There we go. That's, click that one?
Yeah, it's to click my product. Golf Swing Guru.
Golf Swing Guru. This is another ClickBank product. Now, if they're promoting affiliate products for ClickBank, and you were to email them and say, hey, listen, I would love to have you promote my ClickBank product. Here's the product. You can see how great the quality is. Is there a chance you'd be willing to promote my product? I'll even give you an extra 5% affiliate commission. Now, this is keywords, because ClickBank allows you to set up multiple thank you pages. All right? They allow you to offer different affiliate commissions on different ones. You can create a different thank you page. You give him 55% or 60% or 40%, whatever, 5% more. 5% more will push a lot of people over the edge. You can say 10% more. They may negotiate with you. Someone will do it for free. But if you make the, you always want to have an offer that says, hey there, I love your site. I love what you're doing. I see how you're promoting this, this, and this. I'd love to have you promote mine. I offer blank, blank, blank. Or this is what's in it for me. Or first off, this is what I like about you. This is what's in it for me. This is what's in it for you. This is what's in it for me. And here's how I make it even sweeter for you. That's your sandwich. Does that make sense? Are you guys with me on that? Can you write that out in the somewhere on your page so that everyone can see that it's an equation. I want you to think about this equation. This is something that actually it takes some time to perfect, but it works. So if you can write this out, it'd be great, Richard.
Can you repeat that just so I can write it down?
You want to talk about what you like about them. This is the same thing in dating, the same thing with your wife, the same thing with your husband. What do you like about them? What do you want them to do? AKA, what's in it for me? What's in it for you? Or what's in it for them? How they're going to make money, how they're going to build value, how they're going to build value for them. What's in it for you again? And really it'll help me a lot, you could say, or be a great blessing, or be a great advantage, I think, because I think your site is so great. So again, impacting why it's valuable to you, and you're showing again why it's what you like about them. And then finally, you sweeten the deal. You make it a no-brainer, all right? You say, and you know what? Just because I want this so much, I'm going to make it worth your while. You with me?
Good stuff.
Everything good? All right. So you're going to add that to our simplify it, making it look like an equation. It'll look really cool.
These PDFs are going to get longer and longer each week.
Well, we've got a lot of content out there. We've been going for over an hour and 20 minutes now, an hour and 15 minutes. So, all right, next slide. Let's go ahead and jump on over. Hopefully everyone gets the idea of how you can see what your competitors are doing and use their affiliates and their promos and that kind of thing. The script. I just gave you the script, basically. I'll simplify the script really quick. If you're sending the email form, the script you want to be giving out is very simply that equation and putting that equation into words. You know what? I don't even think I need to do that. I think you guys have a pretty good idea. You guys have an idea what you need to do with this, or do I need to really dumbify it, make it really stupid simple that you know, oh, come on, Pam, you know what you're getting. Sally wants to know, Rich, are you getting all of this?
I'm getting all of this. Yeah, I have a recording as well, so I'll go through it. I'll play it back half speed so I can kind of make sense of what Eric's saying.
Well, I felt so bad for being late, I have to give tons of content. All right, so I'll make sure that, Richard, that you can put this together, and I'll help you write a sample script so that everyone can put it in there and everyone can keep things going, and we can get to questions, because we're now gone an hour and 15 minutes, and I know, here's the thing, guys, this is one thing I know about Richard. His wife is darling, sweet, and kind, but at 5:30, Richard is supposed to turn into a pumpkin, and the family time, so if he's not there, I get in trouble, because it's my fault, because I kept him on here, because obviously I'm the one doing all the talking. So I'm going to jump over to questions. I think that's the next slide. What do you guys need to know? What do you need to learn? What are things that you'd like, you know, another 3 or 4 minutes of explanation on? And we'll go from there. Come on now. Don't be shy. By the way, when I sound like I can't talk, it's because I have a giant cigar in my mouth. Anybody else? What do we have?
Maybe there's still time for really long questions.
Really long questions. What's the deal with JV brokers? How much do they cost? This is great. If you guys ask questions at the very beginning of the call before I got on, please ask them again. I'll go through them here. Deal with JV brokers, how much do they cost? Honestly, Reed, you don't need a JV broker unless you are already making a sensible amount of money and you're already successful. I don't recommend getting one right now because obviously you know what you're doing well enough given what I've been teaching you. At least I should be. So much to take in. I'm having trouble with questions. Thank you, John. I will use it as a testimonial. I love it. Who are my friends in the relationship niche? Barbara wants to know. I have several contacts in the relationship niche. It depends on which side of the relationship side you want to be on. I have done some work with some people who do marriage counseling. I've done some work with people who do divorce coaching. I've done some work with people who do actual like relationship pairing. Rick wants to know, do you test multiple markets at the same time and keep the winners and drop the losers, kind of like cost per click? Repeat that. Do you test multiple markets at the same time and keeping the winners and dropping the losers, or do you just do one at a time? I honestly, Rick, I don't recommend you do multiple markets at the same time, because if you do multiple markets at the same time, you're going to end up being overwhelmed, unless you have a brain like mine, in which case, God bless you. I'm really blessed in that I'm the only man I know that can actually multitask. And summarily recently stopped dating the only woman I know that can't. But no, I find that, you know, I do well by doing multiple things at once, but very few brain types can do that. But yes, I do. You know, I usually am testing between 3 to 5 markets at once, new markets to me. Every month we create new markets, we find new products, we launch those things, and if they don't do well, my investment is usually between $2,000 and $5,000, so it's not a massive loss. But again, I'm not doing any of the work myself anymore, or very, very minimal amount of work myself. So I have the ability to do a lot more multitasking because I'm outsourcing everything. My average work day is less than 2 hours because I'm able to just make phone calls to the people I have to make phone calls to, and then I'm able to focus on my own business, my internet marketing side of my business that I'm trying to grow now, because I feel like I should help more people with this stuff. G wants to know what systems we would recommend. First off, let me know, Rick, if that made sense to you, because that was a little complex. But G wants to know what systems I recommend for setting up affiliate programs. G, I don't recommend any of them, honestly. I'm testing out FoxyCart right now. I think it is FoxyCart.com. It's an Ajax platform. They do some pretty good stuff. We're going to be modifying it a bit. Then outside of that, one shopping cart is what I call it all reliable, even though it's not reliable at all. AWeber I love for emails, but everything out there is bad. You know, the only one that is actually decent is Infusionsoft, and it's such a massive, massive shift. I eventually will probably shift over to them, but for now it's just too much work. Kevin wants to know, do I launch multiple products in the same niche, and if so, how many would you recommend? I'm not sure what our next call is going to be on. Rich and I haven't talked about it yet. We'll plug it some into niche domination techniques and the things you can do to build value. And if we do that, what you can expect is to learn a bit, how do I explain this, of building multiple products at the same time. I never, ever launch without having at least 2 products, one that's mine and one that's an affiliate promotion. I don't put the affiliate promotion in until it's on the thank you page as a thank you offer, an upsell. It's, hey, So glad you're here. Can't wait till you read my book and send me an awesome testimonial. In the meantime, here's a book I just recently read that was really blessing for me, and it might help you in your blank problem as well. Check it out. My buddy blank, or my friend blank, or this blank person wrote it, and I was very impressed by choose one little thing you really liked about it, and then get the new link, your affiliate link. So you always have an upsell. You always have a reason to build value. All right.
Jit says,
is it hard to get... Go ahead.
Is it hard to get JV partners at $7 to $17, even if you're offering 100% commission on the front end?
That completely depends on the marketplace you're going into, Jit. I mean, if you go to the internet marketing industry, yeah, it's going to be almost impossible to find big names that will do it. Small names will, but small names don't have lists that are very responsive usually. You know, Richard is one of the only lists I've ever seen that's actually... that love them as much as they love him, you know. So Smirly, you guys are very responsive, which is why I'm working with Richard now. It's why I like Richard, because he's a lovable guy. But most of the people in the marketing niche are going to be difficult to get a hold of without offering a large amount of income or something that helps build their brand by being involved. Whereas if you're in a smaller marketplace, if you're working with daycare, credit repair, something like that, where you have a smaller basis, you don't have to offer as much for sale, because they're expecting to make a decent amount of money with it. They aren't expecting to make $500,000, and they aren't expecting to make it have it be their major income. So it just depends on what market you're in. Sally wants to know how long it took me to be able to outsource. In all honesty, Sally, I have written one ebook on my own that was not by choice. It was a must because I had a writer, had a serious problem with the writer. I can't go into detail that live, but we sold the product without it being a good product, and I was told it was a good product by the outsourcer that I worked with for a very long time, and we built a trust factor. So I've always outsourced, and I literally put my first fruits, my first income in the business, and my money from outside this internet marketing business toward outsourcing first, because I saw the value in it was just that I could never get it done myself. I never would have time. In fact, the first product I created or sold in the internet marketing space, I didn't have it created. I actually found someone that had a product already that wasn't selling and asked him if I could have it and sell it. And I would put a link back to what their website or whatever. I did something for them. And they said, absolutely. And so I just found a market that was not doing extremely well. He actually gave me the product, gave me resale rights to the product. I wrote a new sales letter. I had a new website created, new cover design, etc. And went to town. So that works. Barbara wants to know if I can give examples of my sites. Yeah, I've given quite a few in the past. Let's see, what can I give right now? Ugly sites that are in the midst of, or not in the midst, but about to be, they're on the list right now to be redeveloped. My golf sites are www.golfballguidebook.com. Once again, www.golfballguidebook.com. The follow-up product of that was www.theseniorgolfersblackbook.com, theseniorgolfersblackbook.com. And those two products are two of the ones I talk about in the golf niche. There are others, but I don't talk about them. other niche sites, daycarestartupsecrets.com is about to go live. I'm sharing some of my niches because I want to be able to help people see what the possibilities are. If you'd asked me these questions a couple of years ago, I would have told you nothing. So it's a whole new world for me to be willing to share. So I hope you guys are able to build some value in that. I have others, but I have to think of some I'd be willing to share. I have a credit repair one that's going live next week or so, so you'll be able to see that as well. Let's see here. Sally wants to know if I consider partnering, quote unquote, with any of you. Honestly, Sally, there's always a possibility. We will be offering a mentoring and training program that will be helping you through some more exact steps and building out a lot more detail on all these subjects in the future. Richard and I are still hammering out the details of what that will mean for us, what we can actually apply time-wise, because my real passion is helping people, as I said earlier, but it has to be able to be blended with my lifestyle and my business as well. So John says that John warns, he says, he slaps too hard, don't go near him. It's very true, John, and I think Richard can attest to this. I'm kind of a slapping person, but Richard, has it been pretty impactful for your business, my slapping?
Yeah, definitely. I'll take a good slap any day of the week from you.
Heck, man, you take a good slap from me almost every day.
It's true.
But yeah, definitely. Sally says that her, her outsourcing dollars is going to her kids. Sally, I respect that deeply. Again, if you can't afford it right now, I don't recommend going into debt for anything, but if you can afford a couple $100 to take away the things that will keep you from making this happen. You know, I don't recommend outsourcing everything at first, but the things that will keep you from making this happen the first time, the things that will keep you from building an income, are the things you should figure out a way to make money. And I'm serious. If you have to go clean houses, you have to, I mean, my first business, to start my first business, I washed dishes in my grandmother's restaurant for almost 2 years, full time. I was 11 years old to 13 years old. I washed dishes, I don't know, well over 40 hours a week at $5.25 an hour, $5.15 an hour. I never got a raise. And I was able to pay for my first airplane. I mean, the first kit for an airplane, which eventually ended up starting my business. So it's you know, sometimes you have to work hard. It's this is the reality of the internet marketing industry. Is everyone says, well, hey, it's, you know, it's just this, it's just that. No, it takes hard work sometimes. So we got a lot more questions coming in, and I've run out our friend's time. Do I mainly create ebook products? Kevin, I do create largely ebook products. That's shifting some because I'm starting to see other avenues for income. The 23rd, I'm launching a membership site in the internet marketing space. My first one ever that I'm actually launching for myself. That'll be with Dr. Mike Lumine. It'll be all about the next step of helping people develop action plans for their business. But most of what I've done has been ebooks because they're simple. It's an easy and direct method for me to generate income. And it's a great lead generation product if I decide to develop something that's larger for that marketplace. Rob wants to know about developing a book series and promoting them. We can talk more about that later, Rob. I'm not sure what you mean exactly. If you type up a longer question, put it in the blog. We'll do our best to address that later. Les Burgess, do you always want to find obscure but maybe profitable niches that have less competition? Or what about current global situations that have more of a mass market and potentially more profit volume-wise? Do you have any comparisons that you may have done to those two areas? That's a huge question, Les. The answer is both. I look for whatever the profit pockets are that are the easiest for me to tap into that leave me with the least excuses. For instance, I was supposed to launch my Cheater's Guide product, my big internet marketing product, in September. I was initially supposed to launch it last April, and then this September, and now this November 11th, it's finally getting launched. It's only because I'm working with Richard on it, because otherwise I continue to make more and more excuses for myself that would keep me from doing it. So I try to find the quickest way to find a considerable income that is actually simple to develop value in instead of something that is difficult for me to build value. Hopefully that makes sense. Sally, we'll have to talk more about that later. Rob, let's see. Rob, yeah, we'll have to talk about that. That's just good. What is my opinion on mini sites, Sally? Yes, those are great. They're awesome. We have a tool we'll talk about mini sites possibly later. It's just so much content. I mean, literally, I can talk for days on this stuff. I feel bad for ending this so soon.
We can keep going for another few minutes.
The key with Sally with mini sites is going to be to find mini sites that deliver great content, great value, not just, you know, tons and tons of ads, not just lots of Google ad blocks. My secret with mini sites is to have one small Google ad block, AdSense block, great quality articles, and a place for people to opt in to get all those articles at once in a method that is called a mini course. That's what works for me. It just has to be a site that's more of a delivery mechanism that shows that you care about that niche, you care about that market, you care about those people. So that's what I do. And we're out of questions, dude. That's awesome. I'm really talked out right now. I was literally frantic. My bug, did you guys see the picture of my bug? I don't know if you saw it or not. I'm gonna try to send it. I don't know if I can send it out to everyone again. I'm sending it to all. It's pretty rad. Here, actually, I'm gonna Skype that picture over to you, Richard.
Okay.
So you can open it up and show everybody, because I'm excited about it. I just shot this picture and I like the picture, so I love my bug. It's my favorite car. It's exciting. So my bug does like 75 miles an hour if you hold the gas pedal to the floor and you're pointing downhill. And I ran 78 miles an hour. I topped it out, the fastest it's ever been trying to get here in time. So yeah, here we go. That's my bug. It's pretty. It's exciting. That was the reason why I was late today, but hopefully you guys get to enjoy your hilarious life as much as I do mine. And, you know, this has been an hour and 20 minutes. It does need a paint job. It's about to hit the restoration shop, so it's going to be rad. But, yeah, guys, that's all I have. And I literally, as soon as I get done with this, you can count on me probably breathing into a bag for the next 10 minutes, like, catching breath. This has been quite a long, a lot of talk.
Eric, just want to say thanks. I know it's been a hectic day for you. Really appreciate it.
Now I have to pack and go up to Simon's wedding. My pleasure, man. My pleasure. Hey, everybody, if you happen to be at JV Alert this weekend, I will be there on Sunday for a whirlwind tour to help with a hot seat and the speaker panel, and then out for dinner and this and that, just crazy, crazy things. But I'm very honored to be here with you all. Richard, seriously, man, thank you for putting this together. It's been
thank you.
It's always an experience to see what comes out and what I'm able to share. So thank you.
Yep, and so everybody else will have the blog if you want to post more questions. So that address again is nichedominationsecrets.com/blog. And this time I actually got the quick post up, so you can just post a comment in there.
Hey, that's impressive, man. You've been busy.
I'm in the game, yeah.
I love it. Guys, this is take notes from Richard right here. Always make things happen fast. It's the only way to go. All right, everybody. Have a great evening, and I look forward to talking to you soon. Richard, thank you again, brother.
Thanks again, Eric. Everybody else, we'll see you again next week.
Cheers.